Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We'll get you Keith's keys coming up. The keys to Wild Card Weekend at 1 o'clock. I want to get to the Red Sox as well. Cheaping out on another homegrown talent. MVP caliber is probably the right way to phrase it.
Got MVP votes. Has finished higher in the MVP balloting than Rafael Devers ever has.
Look,
All-Star game MVP.
Thank you.
Woo!
I am hesitant to, you know, compare this player to Mookie Betts, but it's got the stench of Mookie Betts all over it.
He's closer to Mookie Betts than he is to Bob Zubzik.
Or even Devers,
if that's the scale.
Yeah. So we'll do all that coming up in just a little bit with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. James on Twitter, at Jones WEEI, at Keefe21, at Jones and Keefe. Some folks probably not going to believe this Keefe scoop.
Wait a minute.
But he's nailed some stuff in the past.
Who said some stuff?
I think he's trying to give you a compliment, but it's really...
No, that ended up being that backfire. That turned around.
That's a bit of a backhanded compliment.
Well, not to go through this every single time, but I haven't been wrong yet. So just go with that.
It's not just some stuff.
No, all stuff.
All stuff.
All stuff.
Pastrnak and Marchand not getting along. Bruins dressing room is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get back to your feedback on that. But let's get to our Friday four-pack, four questions for Wild Card Weekend. What's up first, Billy?
First question, if you could only watch one game this weekend, which would it be?
You got one?
Well, I do. Am I violating the spirit of the rule by taking the Monday night game
Not
in
at all.
Arizona?
That counts. The NFL has screwed our wild card weekend. We like a Saturday-Sunday wild card weekend. We talked about that yesterday. But no, that counts. There's six games technically for this weekend.
Okay.
So if you want to pick that one, you can.
I do. It's going to be weird watching it in Phoenix, but I like that Rams-Vikings game. I think the Vikings are prime for an upset. I'm surprised that the Vikings are favored by 2.5. I think the Rams win that one outright. I would have felt that way certainly in L.A. I feel that way still in Phoenix. I actually thought Nick Costos made a good point with the Greg Hill show this morning. He's like, it's not like the Rams have a big home field advantage at SoFi Stadium. So I don't think moving the game means anything. And they've actually gotten an extra point, meaning going from 1.5 to 2.5. So, yeah, I like the Rams in that game. I think that's the best game of the weekend.
All right, I like the game that has the highest over-under, and not just because there could be a lot of points, but the Buccaneers and the Commanders. I love this matchup. I love Baker Mayfield, as you know. And I also love the idea that there are some quarterbacks that just year in and year out just hit their head against the wall. They either can't make the playoffs, or when they do, they lose. Baker Mayfield has a chance to win, I think, his third playoff game of his career. Or Jaden Daniels shows up and as a rookie wins a play. So it's kind of a win-win from like a talking standpoint, because I like both of these guys a lot. I'm rooting for Baker Mayfield, and I'm rooting for Tampa Bay, and I do think they're going to win. But this one could be fun. Like, one of these teams that nobody's considering either one like a Super Bowl contender, but they're going to get themselves a playoff victory on Sunday.
I think Tampa's a dark horse contender, right, to be honest. Washington, I don't
believe.
No,
they're not.
It. And on rookie quarterbacks, I saw this note earlier today, Pro Football Talk. Rookie quarterbacks on the road, playoff NFL playoff history, 5-17. So that's Jaden Daniels. That's Bo Nix.
Yeah, going
that's
up
a trend
it.
To watch out for. But look,
Mac Jones is a part of that stat.
He was absolutely a part of that. So file that away All when right. you're making your picks this weekend. But you got that game. What's our next question, Billy?
Which game this weekend has the best quarterback matchup?
All right, let me pick up with that. It's the game Keith just talked
I think
about.
It is, right?
It's Jaden Daniels and Baker Mayfield. I really don't think it's close. Is it?
So,
is it Stafford and Darnold?
No, I think C.J. Stroud had such a down year.
Yeah.
But if you could talk yourself into C.J.
No, Stroud and Love should...
No, no, no.
Stroud and Herbert, rather, should be.
Stroud and Herbert could be. I also...
Love hurts.
They have to play that in and out of every break, don't they, during the game?
Good point.
Love hurts.
It does.
Love hurts should be.
Love also stinks.
Yeah, but they're not playing stinks.
No,
they're playing love.
No, 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 yeah.
So, yeah, they're all decent. There's no, you got to wait a round or two until we get to like the, you know, Allen Mahomes or Lamar Allen or all those ones. But, yeah, I think it might be Baker. I mean, you're going to have a guy that is what, top five in the MVP this year in Baker Mayfield? He threw over 40 touchdowns. And then the rookie of the year. So, yeah, it probably is that game as well.
Two best quarterbacks is that game. I agree.
All right. Which coach in the playoffs has the most pressure to win a Super Bowl?
I think it's Sean McDermott. You know, I think there's been so many years. You know, we can get into this later, too. I think Josh Allen has a lot of pressure on himself. But the Bills are one of the favorites. They've been one of the favorites all year long. They haven't even gotten to the Super Bowl yet. As good as they've been and as many wins as they have had. So some of the other guys that he's competing against have Super Bowls. Now, some of them, like a guy like Mike Tomlin, it's so many years ago. John Harbaugh is so many years ago. But they have Super Bowls. Reed has a million of them now. But I think it's Sean McDermott. Not that he has to win it to keep his job or anything like that. But I think this is a pretty big one for him.
Okay, so I agree it's McDermott. But if I had to pick another name, it's Sirianni.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he was on the hot seat last year.
Let's say they lose to Green Bay. I don't think they're going to. They already beat Green Bay earlier this year, week one in Brazil. I don't like how the Packers have been playing. I don't trust how the Packers have been playing. But let's say that happens. Sirianni could be out of a job. So I think he's got a lot of pressure on him to win. I agree the answer is McDermott. But I think the coach with the next most pressure is Sirianni in Philly.
Final question. Are there too many wild card teams?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. I don't like change. I like how things were done before. Now, it gives an extra team, obviously, a chance to make it in. And it also says there's only one bye, which some people like sort of either the strategy or the importance of the regular season game is based on only having one bye.
Well, and I'll say here, the Lions-Vikings game was kind of awesome. Because there was one bye week. I guess that probably would have come into play even with two byes because they're in the same division.
Yeah, because you got to be a division winner. But no.
But that's the idea, where you get down to the end of the year and teams have to go all out and really play for the bye week as opposed to half the league turning it into a mockery like the Patriots and Bills.
Yeah, I don't need... It does also lead to sometimes like those horrible games, right? Because you're like, this team shouldn't be in the playoffs. Now, I don't know if there's one team... I mean... Broncos have a good defense, so maybe the Bills don't blow them out. But there is a chance, there is a scenario where the Bills just blow doors, and you're like, oh, we had to see that game. We had to see Josh Allen take on Denver. So, no, I like the way that it was before. You reward the division winners across the board, and then two. Give me two wildcard teams per conference, and then I think you're set.
Yeah, and I also like wildcard weekend when it was two on Saturday, two on Sunday.
Oh, what a time.
Now it's three on Sunday plus a Monday game?
No.
Too much. So absolutely too many wild cards. I'm sure they're going to keep expanding, by the way. They'll eventually go to eight probably in both conferences.
Do you think they'll ever get to the point, though, where nobody gets a bye? Like, I feel like that's kind of important, a reward.
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah, maybe they will.
I think they go more inventory, more money in our pockets. We're all happier.
Well, when are they getting the 18th game? That's coming.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Right around the corner.
The league will eventually expand. Four teams in Europe, or something like that, or four international teams.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they'll expand the postseason. So I'm sure it's going that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, Keith, like you, don't like change.
No. Nope.
And I would say go back to the old format. It worked better. It set up better. It was better for the viewer. Yeah, it's less money for the owners in their pockets. But what the hell do I care about that?
No.
So there you go. Friday four-pack of questions for Wild Card Weekend. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. John is in Franklin. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. So Vrabel, look, I don't care. He was a former Patriot and he had success here. I watched a lot of Tennessee games, and honestly, I was so impressed with him for 4 years. And obviously, we know the most important thing is getting the roster right. But this is why I want Vrabel, and I want to give you a quick comp, too, of who I think he is as a current coach. So I like Vrabel because he brings stability to the organization. And I'm not trying to be cute with words, but Vrabel is stable, and they need that. And honestly, I want to give you a quick comp. Tell me what you think of this. I think he's the modern-day version of Bill Cowher. So I think we get our version of Bill Cowher. And Patriots fans may hate to hear that because I know we used to beat those Steelers teams. But Cowher was a darn good coach. He won a lot of games. He was there for 15 years. Went to two Super Bowls, ended up winning one. And I just think him and Vrabel are very similar in their coaching styles. They're former linebackers, tough guys.
Yeah, look, John.
You know, alphas.
John, it's attitude over scheme, which that can work. I mean, I think that works with other guys in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that can work. That's a decent enough comp, I guess. But, yeah, I'm more fearful of leaning too far into the leader of men mold.
Yeah, and I think that's one where the coordinators become just so important,
right?
Like that real leader can work, and everybody keeps wanting. Remember, they wanted to compare Mayo to Campbell, and you're like, first of all, I don't really see that comparison. Second of all, Campbell's two coordinators are the two of the three best head coaching candidates right now.
Correct.
Are both considered to be awesome, whereas Mayo didn't have that.
And you notice the caller said, I like Vrabel for 4 years. Well, there were two more years after that, and they were pretty bad at the end.
So one thing I do like a lot about Vrabel, and I've spent a lot of time this week talking about Ben Johnson and how much I want Ben Johnson. One thing I really do like about Vrabel is I don't think there's anything in-game that is going to surprise him. Sure. I feel like everything surprised Mayo. Like, there was that great time. Remember, there was some loophole in the rule that Bill Belichick used once, and it was, like, bleeding more clock on, like, a delay a game, non-delay, or some weird
rule. Yeah, if you on a fourth down, you punt, you take a delay a game, you can bleed off, like, an extra 40 seconds. Yeah.
And Vrabel did it to the Patriots.
In a playoff game.
Yes. And
Foxborough, in Bill's face.
And, laughing at him.
Yeah,
and
Belichick laughed in Bill's face.
Laughed in his face. And Bill was, like, pissed.
I do like that.
That's amazing. Yeah. So not only did he do that to Bill, which is funny, but I don't know if every single coach in the league would even know that rule or like things like that. And I know the guy that was just here probably wouldn't, but Mike Vrabel, I think, you know, you're not going to blindside him with
that. No, you're not going to surprise him. That's
so
true.
I like that.
Let's go to Mike in Weymouth on the Bruins. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
I think Keith, a minute ago.
Okay, we got it, Mike.
Oh,
we got
my God. Are you doing some welding?
Mike, we got to put you back on hold. That is a...
What is that, a whistle competition?
Some kind of weird squeak.
That was loud.
Whistle going on. Yeah. So let's pop you back on hold. We'll get to your phone call.
I wanted to get there.
617-779-7937. Hang out there. We'll get back to you. Bruins, Patriots, wild card weekend, the whole thing. And let's mix in the Red Sox screwing over another homegrown star. That's next.
Now more of Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Shout out on the text line to Nick.
People like the rejoin, right?
Best intro music on WEEI.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out, Nick.
Shout out, Nick.
Who, by the way, am I mistaken?
What?
Is it a happy birthday to Nick today?
No way.
It is.
Oh, come on.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Nick.
You know what?
He's all grown up.
I saw the email from Melissa, and I didn't even...
She said it's happy birthday, Nick?
I didn't even... No. She sends out the birthdays every month.
Oh, everybody's.
Yes.
I thought it was just Nick's. I'm like, I didn't see that.
And...
that special?
Yeah. And I forgot about that until I even saw the text. Happy birthday, Nick.
How old a man are you now, Nick?
28.
28 years young.
Must be nice.
That is a man.
Everything felt a little bit better at 28.
Bones don't creak when you get out of bed.
I don't make these horrible noises sitting down or standing up.
You don't make
up.
Mayo noises getting up and down.
I don't Mayo groan.
I've started doing that, like, ironically now.
Yeah.
And now it's like, now it's...
You know, you're stuck
with it. You're getting close.
Yeah. Where does it really go downhill?
40.
No.
19.
Yeah. Now, your body feels different at 40.
Yeah. I think every 10 years is probably a thing.
Yeah.
30 is definitely different.
30 is more of like a psychological thing. There's some body stuff going on.
I'm trying to think when I...
40.
When I stopped playing like pickup basketball or like even like slow pitch softball because you're like, this is hurting. Everything hurts. Now it's just like playing with the kids. You're like, oh my God, my arm.
What happened with you again? You shredded your hamstring running down the first
base? Just torched it. Pulled it all the way out.
What age would you say you were at?
Snapped it. Oh, that was 30 maybe.
Yeah, okay. Well,
probably give or take.
Nick, you got that to look forward to.
Oh, it's horrible. You don't want that.
Plus it's...
No, actually, it was probably less than that. It was probably like, maybe I was 33, 34. Actually, it wasn't that long ago, but it was bad.
Okay.
A bad scene.
Anyway, shout out, Nick. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Nick.
And great rejoins, Nick.
You got any big plans? You got any cake coming your way?
Hopefully, but I don't know. I'm sick, so I'm not doing anything.
you can swing by the Odyssey holiday party. You could do that. They probably got snacks.
Happy holidays.
Anyway, great work by Nick. That's not exactly what the Red Sox are doing.
No.
When it comes to Jaron Duran, I guess I hadn't been following this until it came out last night. I saw Chris Cotillo. Here's what he tweeted out. Jaron Duran asked for $4 million from the Red Sox. The Red Sox filed for $3.5 million.
Like,
they are taking him to arbitration.
Dude.
Over $500,000.
So, okay.
For a guy who, and the more I read up on this, you know, MLB trade rumors and whatnot, and it's just a projection, but they projected him to get in arbitration almost $5 million, 4.8, 4.9.
Yeah.
So you're getting a deal by him asking for four. You're already getting that deal. You're $500,000 apart, and you're going to take the player to arbitration over $500,000 when you've spent nothing this offseason?
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And I understand sometimes maybe you do have to take a player to arbitration. If you just give everybody everything that they want, all of a sudden your payroll kind of balloons. So I even sort of understand like the business side of it. Jaren Duran has far exceeded his current contract, but this is the way baseball works. So you have to file for arbitration. Remember when Theo Epstein was here? Nobody went to arbitration. He always found a way. He always found common ground. Didn't have to have these court cases where you sit there and you tell the other player, or you tell the player why he's not worth what he's asking for. Even if you like the player, but now you have to be the business side of it, and you're like, you think you're this? Famously, Mookie Betts went to arbitration. They told him, you're not Chris Bryant. Like, you see what Chris Bryant's doing? You're not him.
Well,
and
he's not.
Like, okay. Yeah, he's right. Yeah, he's like, you're right, I'm definitely not.
You're right.
And I mean, ask Jeremy Swayman about the arbitration process. Now, maybe he took it way too personal, but still, it hurt him. Corbin Burnes famously went to arbitration with Milwaukee. No shock, he wasn't in Milwaukee much longer after that. This is so insane to me, considering it's the same offseason that they were willing to give Juan Soto $700
million. I'll put that in air quotes.
They wanted it out there that they would.
I'm the one who shouldn't be putting that in air quotes. Yeah. That should be you, because I took the cheese on that one.
Well, right, but to me, like, they were just close enough. But publicly, it looks like you were in the bidding for Juan Soto. You know who had a similar year to Juan Soto? Jaren Duran. And you won't give him $500,000?
Nope.
You'll get what? Like, what? He's not asking for like $100 million. He's asking for four.
He was eighth in the MVP voting.
He was higher than Devers has ever finished, and you gave him $30 million a year.
He was the All Star Game MVP.
Nice.
Now, look, he had his own incident last year on the field.
He did.
But I think he's actually a fun player to watch. He's one of the few fun players they have on the team to watch.
Okay. Also. And Lou Maloney on Twitter took the Chris Cotillo tweet about a lot of clubs do this and blah, blah, blah. And this is what Maloney wrote. He wrote, I would highly recommend not going to court with Duran. Those hearings can be tough for any player when the team starts talking about why you're not worth the money. The team has to know the damage it could cause. And he kind of left it at that. If you kind of take it one step further and look at some of the stuff that Jaren Duran has dealt with.
Correct.
On and off the field, how bad it was and what a bad place he was in. What, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fans were pretty much against him.
He's
and like
he's walking away from the sport, just about.
But he's talked about all these different things that he has had to do to help his mental health.
Correct.
So I don't think it's a good tactic to take with any of your players, okay. Let alone somebody like this, who and is really good. Okay. Maybe the most important
if
part.
If Duran's asking for 10 and he's projected to get 5, well, that you go, okay, you're being unruly.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah. And so maybe you take that player. He wants 4. You're going to take him to court. For 3.5 over $500,000. We say arbitration court.
Yeah.
Now, look, I think they can still settle, right? They can still agree to something before actually going through with it.
Well, I hope so.
But they're ready to take him to arbitration over $500,000 in a year where they claimed they were ready to spend $700 million.
But this also.
And they still have barely spent a dime this offseason on real talent.
And to compare it back to the Mookie Betts situation, this also, I think for most people, you wouldn't forget it. And when it's time to, let's say, whenever Jaren Duran becomes an unrestricted free agent and the Red Sox are like, hey, you've played your whole career here. Fans love you. You love being here. We'll offer you like $300 million or whatever it is. Like a big, maybe even bigger by the time he gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. Remember what you did to me before?
Not happening.
There's like the chance of a hometown discount, I think, would go out the window once you go to arbitration.
No, that's true. So you can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. Our buddy Josh is up in Nashua. Josh, you'd move on if you're Duran. I think you just tweeted this at me.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'd move on from them. I think that's absolutely a slap in the face. That's ridiculous. $500,000. Like, I'm sure, like, the amount of money, like, Jaren Duran brings into the Red Sox organization now is way, way more worth than that. That's what I wouldn't even show up.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I don't know if he has that much leverage, and you know, maybe he'd win an arbitration, but it is a slap in the face. There's no doubt about that.
They pay guys way more to rehab.
Great point.
They've brought in so many guys that they knew were hurt and were coming off of Tommy John.
Patrick Sandoval,
Liam Hendricks, James Paxton. They have a history of bringing... No,
but I'm saying they're literally doing it this offseason, right? They have a history of it, but they're doing it this offseason with Patrick Sandoval. They're right. Like, yeah, come in, we'll pay you to rehab.
Meanwhile, you play all-star center field and lead off for us, and we can't give you an extra $500,000.
Mike's in Weymouth again. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys, sorry about that. I know you've moved on, but I really, for all the sports, I feel like the leadership is so intangible and incredibly important. These guys spend their whole lives thinking they're individuals and they're special. And now you give these, like, the Bruins, no trade clauses. So you already made these guys feel special. and they've gone through three coaches. So where's the leadership? It's intangible, delicate, but without it, you have nothing. You have a bunch of individuals out there, you know, consumed by self-interest, pulling in separate directions.
Yeah, and this goes back to Keith Scoop on the Bruins. Pastrnak and Marchand not seeing eye to eye, part of their turmoil.
But it is tough because you're like, you're right. In this scenario, it seems like Pastrnak's in the wrong. But he's also the better player who's 8 years younger. Yeah. So it's like you don't want to reward him, but you're also like, as I don't know, as a franchise, are you going to get rid of him? Or like, how do you punish him? Like, what do you do?
Choosing the 36-year-old who is not as productive as he used to be versus, look, a younger player having a bad season, but still a guy who's more on top of his game, or at least has the potential to it. Yeah, it sends a bad message. That's what I'd do. If you got to pick one, and Sweeney has a tough decision to make, I trade Marchand. 617-779-7937. If you're missing what we're talking about with Keith Scoop, it's up on Jones and Keith, Twitter and Instagram. We have it on the Odyssey app. It's out on social media as well, as we just said. So you can find that there. We'll get back to it later on in the show. We'll also get back to the Patriots coaching search. And Keith,
yes.
Very busy.
Mm-hmm.
Bruins scoops, stats and info on offensive coaches versus defensive coaches, it's Vrabel crazy. Versus Ben Johnson. You'll want to hear it. It's next.